Podly-dum.
All the cycles. All the cycles.
Podcast.
Podly-dum.
Spelled backwards.
Leap. Dumb.
Podcast.
Leap. Dumb.
Pod.
Spelled backwards.
Pod.
Leap. Dumb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fabulous fashionista episode of Podly-dum. That's Top Model Podcast spelled backwards. My name is Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and as a special treat, here's something neat.
I'm JDB Crump, and I usually meet aspiring actors after they've studied their craft.
And I'm Lex Basile Price, and hear ye, your time is up.
Were all of my backup quotes chosen? They sure were. Yay!
A rare Kelly Catrone quote. We usually can't actually use hers.
Yeah.
We are here today to discuss Cycle 22, Episode 7, The Guy Who Acts a Fool.
It's not bad.
No. I mean, pick your fool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've retitled it to The Girl Who Needs to Eat More Fruit.
But if you get your serving of fruit from this podcast, you can become part of
the I was about to say
fun.
Two full fruits between the three of us.
I bring two
on my own. You can't say that when I'm taking a sip.
It's three. I'm two fruits. You can become part of the Lead'em Pod by clicking that Clixel button down below.
Do it. So
you can give us 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. Are you out of your mind?
Whoa. You know who else feels out of their mind? Digital art.
digital art was mean.
Kind of. Because, and I, what's funny is it's even meaner if you don't like the photo, because
yes.
Niall's digital art reads dreamy. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Okay.
All right. And pretty bad cute. Ass, but two words, which sounds like it's just referring to the weird crotch stuff
yes.
going on.
No, hyphen, two also- words.
Oh, and that's a pretty bad ass, right?
I was so scared when we got to the tie tip and she started signing. I was so concerned. And then thankfully Ramon popped up.
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No. We are seeing it filmed. We keep cutting into them filming because at one point you see the TV and Ramon is off camera. His
oh my God, that's
shoulder
so
is
bad.
In camera.
Yeah, I also thought there was some weird editing going on. I did love how Ramon had to interpret Tyra's weird cadence.
Yes.
So Ramon is making Tyra faces while it's happening, which is just gorgeous all around.
But can you imagine the thought process of, we're filming a tie tip for Niall. Clearly, we should have Ramon here to interpret, but also we won't include that in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Are they seeing them in person?
I also think the way these are filmed and the fact that the screen isn't weird, and we know that Top Model can't film screens.
Right.
No.
I wonder if there was anything here and they just green screen this later. It's just too HD for this show.
Maybe.
I love
thought
that
this
idea.
A previous week and didn't bring it up, but I was, because I was like, I have no proof of this. And this episode, I was like, that conspiracy theory is starting to do a little more.
To be fair, though, Niall did seem not paying attention to it, as though...
because it was nothing.
Yeah.
I need to see that left, right, front, down, fierce, sexy. You got that. And the best part is, when Tyra tells him to look front, she does not look front.
No. She also says, where is this amazingness coming from? Where is it coming from? I need some. But she's like, I don't know how to tell you things.
Hey, Niall, you gotta be hotter. Bye! But I think that even though some questionable stuff comes from it, I think this is one of the sweeter prizes that Top Models attempted.
That is this the first and only tie treat that anyone's going to get?
I have a feeling it's just the only one that's interesting because sure. because I think they just cut them out when they're like chocolate.
Sure.
Oysters. At this point. But Niall is going to get a night of signing and dining, which right now we don't know any other information about because it, in the edit of this episode, it comes far later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they had to get someone to come out.
Well, also,
the episode we're talking about today and also next week's episode, I'm going to project, I'm going to astrally project for a second, have shown me a side of the show. This season is not that good a season of Top Model, as we've been discovering. It is sort of, in spite of itself, a fascinating look into ableism and the ways that people are not supported by new communities that they enter.
Right.
And I think what's fascinating about it, and we'll get into it more as these next two episodes. I don't know how many more. We haven't watched past these two that we're talking about this week's and next week's. But I'm wondering how long this is going to continue or if this was like a two-episode arc where we kind of we get the focus for two episodes and then Top Model's editing puts it in the background. But I like that it's showing ableism, but in a more subtle way. Because it's like anything else. Like, it's really easy for most things to be like, it's bad to, you know, not have ramps or whatever it might
be. Right.
Yeah. But when it's like this day-to-day thing that the viewers are like, oh, maybe I'm actually doing this and I'm not realizing this. And like, it's because I think they let Niall speak very freely about his emotions and thoughts on this.
I was going to say, I think all credit to Niall for basically producing this show within a show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take away from how we started talking last week, I think, about how he's more of a savvy competitor than I think we've been giving him credit for and the show has been giving him credit for. But I think he came on here equally to both do well in the competition and give this perspective and be an advocate and really show people a fully considered real perspective that they're not getting in most spaces.
Though I will say, based on some of the things he says, I also think he didn't realize just how difficult it would be.
I think
fair.
So too.
And I wonder if that's just because he mentions, and you mentioned it in a previous episode, Hannah, that you think he's talked in the past about having like a big deaf community that he grew up around, and he starts to talk about that in these episodes. And I wonder if either he was like, well, I've never been around a non-deaf community, so I don't actually know how difficult it's going to be for me and how I'm going to feel, which is probably part of it. And also, I wonder if he thought the show would do more in some way, shape, or form.
This is the other thing I think that makes it so interesting after having watched so much Top Model is that I think we're so used to getting so much timeline fuckery, and it's so hard to actually watch a linear progression of anyone's journey on the show, but we're actually watching someone almost in real time realize what this experience is going to be like, try to mitigate it, try to make the best of it, and get super frustrated in a very clear way that we're not used to seeing from this show.
But thank God he's doing self-care and we get to see him in the hot tub. Hubba, hubba.
Although I'll say far too many lanterns around this hot tub.
It's just nice
Do
to
not
see
like how many lanterns
not
there are.
Three people in that stupid tub.
Yeah, it's nice to see an actual relaxing bath with an appropriate amount of suds.
Also, I've got to say this about Niall. He is also like, I'm the homecoming king in DC. He's just like, I'm so popular, y'all.
Matter of fact, I'm the popular one.
There's something so funny about, like, y'all don't understand. I should be the best person in this house. I'm great.
I clean up. I am so hot.
I'm hot and I'm nice to everybody and I clean. And these are the people you've chosen to be popular.
Okay. There are also going to be so many sepia flashbacks this episode. Half the episode is sepia flashbacks.
And Ashley gets the Top Model triple whammy. Someone hating on her, childhood photos, sepia tone flashback to casting weeks. And I was like, goodbye, Ashley. You can't survive that hat trick from Top Model.
No. We head to the CW, where Kelly is there with Lori Oppenden again. And Lori said, hey, losers, you're all terrible.
Lori Opp again.
So JW used this as his opening quote half of it, because the full thing for me is even more gorgeous, because the shade that Lori starts throwing before anything happens, because she remembers last cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I usually meet aspiring actors after they've studied their craft, but you have the opportunity to show me what raw talent you may have.
Crushing.
Diggity.
And then we see a trio of past Top Model contestants who have succeeded in acting. And it's Leo, Yaya.
Same as last time.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then, to be fair, he did get on a TV show that we talked about, Denzel. And he also got on it fast, if they're already talking about it now.
He did. Yeah.
But what is this picture of Denzel with a huge CB radio?
Sat-nav phone.
Yeah.
Next to a payphone.
What was that? Was that from the show?
Yes.
Must have been, yes. Mm-hmm, 100%.
Was he a spy? I don't understand.
Does this show take place in 1984? Also, the room that they are meeting Lori and Kelly in is too green. I love an LED light that changes colors. This was, you couldn't see faces. It was so green. Everyone looks sick.
CW said, our logo is one color and we are not straying from it.
But they're going to be doing a Shakespearean love scene. Shakespearean. Mm-mm. Is that so?
Top Model's fascination with classic structure and modern slang is fascinating to me.
At least they get to pick their partners in the order of call out.
Mm-hmm.
So Niall picks Lacey.
Obvious choice. Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Mame picks Justin. Ooh, wrong choice.
Yeah, the problem with this is we learn that it's not just the shows making these duo decisions. It's also the contestants making these poor, based on romance decisions.
I could see in an explicitly romantic scene, if you are not an actor, which Mame is not. Because
no.
Listening to Mame talk about what acting is like is hilarious.
Yeah, but actually, Justin is not the problem in this
scene. Yeah, but I could see if you're not an actor and you're playing a love scene, why you would pick someone who you are already physically comfortable with.
Yeah.
Okay. That is fair.
Hadassah picks Beja.
Honey.
But this scene becomes the best thing of all time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And also, I'm going to say it right now. So much the attention gets on Beja, Hadassah's fucking awful. We found out how she played Sandy in Grease, and it was exactly what we predicted.
Yep. Devin wanted to pick Mikey, but can't, so picks Ashley.
But here's the thing. I would have loved if one of them, because it just said pick a partner.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wish he had pulled a Mikey. Romantic dinner? Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
So Mikey is left with Courtney. And that is how Mikey and everyone else, especially Devin, portray it, as I'm always paired. It's always me and Mikey who have to pair with Courtney.
It does kind of end up being that a lot, though. Yeah. Like, the sepia tone receipts were there.
I do feel slightly bad in that the last time Mikey was paired with Courtney, it went very well for him.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows that this is not going to be Courtney's challenge. But that doesn't matter, because it's basically nobody's challenge except for one group.
Yeah. They have 30 minutes to rehearse.
And it's the exact same conference room as last time.
Oh.
You could honestly edit those two episodes together and make one super episode.
Uh-huh.
Kelly saying, in this very lobby, sent me.
I love Niall's interpretation of what this scene is, because the way Niall says it is, Princess Cordelia is in love with me, Niall. Niall is in love with my horse, Niall. I'm not a character. I will just play me.
Honestly, in an audition for the CW, yes.
There are a lot of lines in this scene.
This is actually long. I actually kind of loved, and I don't understand it, but Devin was like, we're not going to make it to the second page. And I'm like, is it timed? Because I actually believe you if that's true. Because there's so much. But they also, they get their script. Mm-hmm. And this is so important for what happens to Beja later. Because Beja says, I'm just going to memorize the lines. Which, with this script length, would actually be smart if you weren't going to have script in hand.
No one was told to memorize.
Nope.
You got to listen to the challenge. If that were important, They would have told you.
I think they had them memorized last time. I don't think they got scripts last time.
No, they did the last one. I actually double checked. Okay. They got it. So this is the CW. This is how they do.
I mean, it's the correct way to audition. Even if you do memorize, it's kind of rude to not have. I always find it rude when I've done casting. When someone comes in without the script, because that tells me, oh, you're going to fuck up and you're just going to start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to be very familiar and then have it there and glance at it when you get a second.
Yeah. Your best option is to like 3/4 memorize it if you can, and then glance down when necessary. Although in this crowd, since none of them seem to know to look at the camera,
that wasn't
it's not as big of an issue as you might think.
Hannah, that wasn't part of the instructions. Who? What camera? Where's the camera?
I love that there are 6 people in the audience with like clipboards to judge you. And so many people, Justin, choose to never once look at them.
I'm so curious about Beja's confidence in her acting.
Well, she's a scammer, so she's used
she did
to
throw that fit about the crown, and it was very convincing.
Yeah. Maybe she's just more off the cuff, though. She's not, you know, good with choreography. I mean lines. Did anyone else find it very strange that Devin was like, I'm Devin OJ Clark? Weird emphasis on that middle name. Don't know what it is. Is it Orenthal James Clark? But also, why are you saying OJ?
Equally odd around Devin is Ashley's assumption that Devin wasn't going to try to be funny during this.
Why?
And I'm like,
why?
I'm like, Ashley, look, I get it. You got stuck with Devin. But I think then your best move is to try to just match the energy at that point, because they're like, you're not going to be able to taper Devin down. He's falling all over that conference room.
Although, stop worrying about the fucking horse was hilarious.
Oh my God.
If you haven't seen the episode, they get a little stick horse.
Oh, not just stick horse. As we learn, they get costumes that Kelly brings in.
I just love that they each get their own. CW had these props just chilling at CW headquarters.
And yet, it's as though they were doing auditions, wildly, callbacks, maybe, for, like, a remake of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, because these Prince Friday-ass costumes they put them in. Justin Rosenblatt is there, back, looking angry and wet. And Lori Oppenden's Looper is also there again.
Yes. And then they each have a single assistant that fits their aesthetic behind them.
Yep.
And
yep.
One, you cannot tell me, is not the guitarist from Simple Plan. I have seen those black earring studs.
It is the same assistant as last year, but he got a California growth spurt.
And we glimpse, fascinatingly, I love this, we glimpse their scoring rubric clipboards.
I adored this so
And
much.
We see everyone's photos, including Delaney's weird MySpace photo they picked. Are we to believe that they just printed this out in the past, or did everyone audition for the CW? Oh,
I would love to see those unaired auditions.
I honestly think because they were still taking some of the other pictures and stuff, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because how much more time would it take? This scene is like 3 minutes.
Sure.
You know?
Which
I just
is fascinating.
But yeah.
The one Delaney picture. It's also wild because they're all on like a white background. Anyways, they have positive, negative, score, which makes me think here, oh, they're going to give everyone an individual score.
Right. But sadly, it doesn't seem like that.
Kelly lied here. She lied. She said everyone's going to be judged individually.
To be fair, these people didn't care about these scores. This was their fun break in the middle of the day.
Also, I'll say this. I think that there wasn't a pair where one person was distinguishably better than the other person. Yeah. So they kind of end up as pairs.
Why was there Oppo Spawn Kong? Oppo Spawn Kong.
I love it when the contestants forget the Shakespearean words and make up their own, because that leads us to stuff like bequithered.
Well, no one can say bequivered.
Bequivered is so funny. It's great because it's that actor thing where you see Justin hurriedly look at the paper, take it down, and then say the word. He's like, got it? And then it immediately leaves his head.
Let me go through the script before we go into the individual performances.
Fantastic. Oh, in order to make this more like the show, I'm going to put in random nays just as you're going.
Thank you. Interior, horse stable, night. A beautiful young princess paces nervously in the palace's stables. Stable boy, oh stable boy, wherefore art thou stable boy? The princess looks around vainly for her love. A stable boy enters on his horse. He climbs off, looks around cautiously to make sure no one has seen him, and ties the horse off. Oh, Princess Cordelia, your love doth shine bright on me like the flashlight feature on a smartphone. Oh, stable boy, I loveth you more than selfies, hashtags, and boy bands. Thou hast stolen my heart like a mischievous child in a fully stocked candy store. Princess Cordelia rushes into the stable boy's arms and kisses him passionately. The stable boy breaks away and looks away guiltily. My love, is something wrong? Forgive me, my dear princess, but my mind betrays me, leaving me ill at ease. Perhaps you are overwhelmed. After all, a mere stable boy as yourself has captured the heart of a princess, and one is so beautiful as myself, no less. Nay, dear princess, it's not true. The princess checks her breath. Is it my breath? My apologies, my love, for the fowl I ateth for supper surely broughteth the funk. No, the funk is not the causeth of my consternation, nor the departure of Zayn Malik from One Direction, although his exit doth disturb me. Hast thou betrayed me like a real housewife of Kingdom Hills? Are you gayeth? Nay, my precious. If truth
so
be told...
We never saw that line on camera.
If truth be told, my heart is bequeathed to none other than my trusted seed, Suri. The little pony outfits. The cosplay. It all makes sense now. Come, Suri, let us ride off into the sunset together. Oh my god, I've been dumpeth for a horse. You a straight-up freak.
We did see Gayeth once, and they put it on screen, and I was like, top model!
Don't say Gayeth! Are you Gayeth?
I gotta say, all of that's insane, but to me, the best part is looks around vainly.
Vainly. In vain is what you wanted to say. This script was written by Tyra. That's why she says candy store.
For sure. I like that it had to be fully stocked.
Oh, yeah.
You can't take a child into a half-stocked candy store.
It's the morning. The truck's been there.
They're still throwing out candy, singing at you. Yeah.
So we got Justin's bequeathed to bequivered, but I will raise you. You are such a freak. To Courtney's, you are so freak.
You are so freak.
You are so freak.
So chic.
As soon as Bobby and Justin are done, Kelly turns around and is like, they're a couple.
Rude.
Why?
Rude.
Keep your trifling, gossiping mouth shut, Kelly Catrone. No one asked.
And did no one cared?
No, Lori could have cared. Couldn't have cared less.
Also,
they're like, "Oh, are those teens dating? Cool."
Also, I'm sorry. Notoriously, couples don't have chemistry in scenes. It is rare for a couple to actually have good chemistry.
Mm-hmm. I want to know so much about how Beja didn't understand what was happening. Because Beja says that the lines go out of her head as soon as she gets on the stage area. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm going to have to improvise.
Someone
no, you
who
don't.
Has been priding herself on her professionalism this whole time.
You have the script in your hand. Because at first I thought, oh, maybe she made the incredibly dumb move of not taking the script. But she's caught it. You don't have to improvise a word.
Or she memorized the wrong part or something, or the whole thing or something. But yeah, literally when it cuts down to holding script, I was like, this is ridiculous.
But honestly, the CW released the Snyder Cut, where it's the full 10 minutes of Beja and Hadassah staring at each other blankly before someone starts talking. I want the whole thing.
And then when they leave the room, it's not a captions crunch because it's accurate, but it's so odd. Hadassah goes, you're weird. And Beja goes, I told you 20 times. You told her 20 times.
What?
I thought that was them continuing the scene.
No.
No.
I thought they were continuing the scene out the door because I'll see your cosplay. I'll see your cosplay, which was amazing. One of my favorite things that happened this episode. And I'll raise you Beja reminding all of us that her horse's name is Saray.
Saray.
It's Saray. I told you that. And that's where I think I told you 20 times comes from. She's like, you're a freak. You're so weird. I told you 20 times. Like, I honestly think they're trying to scene out the door.
Okay. Less, I love that theory.
Less fun. Less fun. Does it seem like Mikey only is saying Courtney's lines? What was going on?
I don't know. This is a rare time that mm-hmm. I give Mikey a little bit of a benefit of a doubt because, like, Courtney's so awful. And I think Mikey was just literally like
prompting.
All right, here's the next thing. Because when he said kiss me, they try to edit it in a way that like he's like forcing her to do something. But I think it was actually just the next thing in the script. And he was yes. like, okay, and now you kiss me. Come on, Courtney, please.
Oh,
I was very ready to believe that he came in to make her look bad. And then the longer it went on, I was like, oh, no, it's just her. It's just her doing this.
She didn't need any help with that.
Mm-mm.
Then breath of fresh air. Niall came in and said, Lori, we're not all dumb.
Niall said to us, I've been on TV, films.
Yeah.
I love that he gets the Matthew edit of, I'm an actor and no one else is. And then Niall says it so many times that even after a while, I'm like, all right, Niall, you're setting yourself up for something. And Lacey was cosplay, which is the most Southern. You could tell she looked at that word and was like, nah, whatever.
I don't know what that is.
I know we moved off of them, but I do want to say.
Go back.
Something that gave me great joy this episode was how much Lori hated Mikey's hair. Finally.
Hated his relationship with his hair, mm-hmm. which was fun.
Yeah.
And Kelly goes, they're a couple. Mikey and her, his hair.
What I didn't like from Lori and Kelly, but Lori, who fucking cares if Lacey has an accent? Who the fuck cares? Oh, I could only cast her as nice Southern girls. Okay, then she's castable.
First of all, you know how I feel, so thank you, Lex. Warms my heart. For a couple of things.
The heart of Dixie Erasure.
It was your fucking show, Lori.
But also, every single person you're seeing, who you said yourself, Lori, are not studied actors.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been so weird.
They can't play anything than who they basically are now. That's everybody.
Yep.
Because none of them are Meryl Streep, who's going to come in with a thousand different characters.
But also, how weird would it have been if Lacey came in and was like, hi, I'm Lacey, and then I spoke like this. That would be so strange.
That's also, like the script didn't call for anything. It's not like it asked for anything.
The only thing that maybe you could see somebody making the leap to is doing a bad British accent. But thank God nobody did a bad British accent.
Also, I think it's fun to mention it now because I texted Lex and Hannah a night or two ago about it. I recognized and confirmed I just saw Lacey in a new commercial.
Wild.
So apparently she, and you know what? She had a line, and you know what it was in? A Southern accent. So I think she's fine, Lori.
Shocking.
And she was supposed to play a Tina Fey type, and I was like, that's not even her voice. They didn't care at all.
Good. I know we talked about how long Hadassah and Beja's scene went on. How long was Devin's scene? Because this seemed like it was a half hour comedy pilot.
What does Devin think acting is? Because
SNL?
Before the scene starts, we get the line, acting comes natural to me because I'm goofy at nature.
Goofy at nature.
First of all, I think no matter how long it was longer for poor Ashley.
Sure. Oh
God. Who
sat there doing such mediocre work, but it was such the tailspin of what Devin was doing. I loved Lori, in one of her only direct-to-camera talking heads, mm-hmm. saying, my overall impression of Devin was not positive. Devastating.
That's just the rubric, though.
Yeah.
She looked at it and she was like, see?
Nothing.
It's like a pain chart at the hospital from, like, smiling to frowning. It's like, frowny.
She's like, I never say 10 because that means you're needy, but this one was a 10.
And later she tells Devin, she goes, acting isn't fun time. And I'm like, you ain't telling us, Lori.
We know. Wish more people knew that, actually.
I wish more people in that room had stuck up for Ashley. At least one person did.
Yes, Ashley was not good, but what was she supposed to do?
What was she supposed to do with that?
She's the kind of actor in a real casting scenario that you'd be like, okay, Ashley, why don't you stay around? We're going to part you.
Yeah.
You with one more person.
You know what it would be, funnily enough? It would be like, Ashley and Mikey, why don't you two come in again and read with each other?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly, they're a couple. All right.
And then Lori decided to casually devastate me by calling the actors who come into audition so devoted and so anxious. Ouch.
Honestly, Lori was great in this episode.
Yes, because she was more devastating. This felt like Lori was like real. This was not Lori trying to introduce like, this is me, Lori Opoden.
This is like, I'd be replaced.
Yes, by Dana Theridatos or whatever her name was.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, does she own the Oppo phones? Lori Opoden.
Lori Opoden.
Also, you know how Shark Tank in other countries is called the Dragon's Den?
Yes.
I love the idea that our casting situations are called the Oppo Den.
Of course, Lacey and Niall are first and second. No one else was close.
Nope.
But the joy from, well, there was a winner and a runner up, and that means no one else did well.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to be super clear. We're giving a 10 and a 9.
Though I will say, not that she was bad, but having Lacey win is for sure the easier choice. And we all know casting directors are lazy. So of course they're like, oh, we can cast her. We don't have to create. Because this sounds bad, but as a walk-on role for the prize, they don't want to have to introduce ASL. That's just not what they're going to do.
And it's not going to be already written into a script because, unfortunately, that's not how life works.
No. So, of course, they're going to pick Lacey. Now, I think she was also good. But when you're like, oh, you can't cast her because she has a Southern accent. She's from somewhere. Can you believe?
And then to bolster Lori's critique of her Southern accent, Lacey says, oh, way to go, childhood Lacey. You're fulfilling your dreams. And I'm like, well.
And then gives her imaginary younger self a high five.
I love that because she kept in the reality of the scene and aimed the high five low. To short Lacey.
That's how a winner's made, baby.
Also, Lex, I'm just telling you, every bio from now on for me, she's from somewhere. Who knew? That's it. That's the whole bio.
I'm glad I start giving content. Yeah, because guess what, everyone? We hate writing bios too.
We sure do.
Actors aren't here for fun. We hate writing bios, and we're super anxious because casting directors suck. That's the truth of it.
I think, Lex, that you should compliment the one director you've had that changed the bio game and allowed you to not have to write one.
Thank you.
I make it a rule when I'm in charge of, like, the programs. I almost said pamphlets. Programs, right? I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That the bios can only be up to 2 sentences long.
Perfect.
And everyone is like, oh, it's way more fun this way.
Uh-huh.
2 sentences, 1 social media, done.
I have only had one time writing fun writing a bio, and it's not that I wrote the bio, it's that I sent them the bio I just have as a file that includes when I was in a production of Shopping and Fucking. This was for a production of Peter and the Starcatcher in rural Kentucky, and then they, because no one proofread it, they just left Shopping and Fucking in the bio, and we had school shows. So I'm glad. That's the only time I had fun, when I opened
Incredible.
It and I went,
Kentucky doesn't know what's about to hit it.
It really didn't with that production.
And I wasn't ready to see these fucking challenge scores, because this is not accurate.
No.
No, the accuracy ends after Lacey and Niall, because Lacey gets a 10 and Niall gets a 9. And Niall mostly gets a 9 just because you can't get 2 10s for this.
And Mame got an 8?
How? Where did
only
you come up
Mame.
With that?
Mm-hmm. That's what gets me.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't good, but also only her?
She also wasn't measurably better than her partner.
And then we
or
get
anybody else.
Five people get the seven. The seven is the score of We Didn't Care, which is Mikey Hadassah, crazy. Justin, wild. Beja, well, everyone should have just gotten it fours. And Courtney. Courtney got better than Ashley and Devin, who got a six. That is, how did Courtney do that?
Also, just give Ashley a seven. She was better than Devin. I can understand giving everyone a seven and then being like, Devin, you were actually incredibly disrespectful. Punishment six. And then Devin said that he didn't know they could go that low. And then I thought, that's wild, Devin. You've been on the show. And then I realized, and I went back, seven has been the lowest so far. It's so weird.
I did a little double checksy too. And yeah, because I was like, no. And so I was like, oh, it really is a punishment score this time.
I just feel so bad for Ashley.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Ashley does amazing this episode, but this entire episode, the whole thing, top to bottom, Ashley should have been third from bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
She exclusively gets brought down by her partners in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin says, Devin gets to some fun sentences because Devin's talking about how, you know, 80 agencies, blah, 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 and has his own studio in New York for what?
And then it was an apartment.
Apartment, I think.
I guess, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's not worded.
It's not
like
clear.
That. Yeah. It's worded like you're a painter or something.
Yes.
And then he quote lost his virginity in the business.
What?
Hmm.
Huh.
Also, and that's horrible.
To just like another entertainer. I don't understand
really
what you mean.
It really proves his credentials as being a part of the entertainment industry, I guess.
Yeah.
So, why has Devin, all his talking heads, have started, like...
He's trying to hide that eyebrow.
I get looking down his nose at the camera. It's so strange. I don't think we've ever had a contestant not just, like, face the camera.
Yeah. It's almost like so the energies. Weird. It's, like, his way of trying to, like, bottle up what I imagine is a lot of movement in these camera shots. And these close-ups are pretty close. So if you move, you basically blur instantly.
I saw a new kitchen sign we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for coming up short. That isn't short positive.
Train.
No.
Did anyone else notice the loungers in the pool, which indicates there's a runway in the pool?
Yeah. Sure yeah. did.
You know, I hate a clear pool runway, so I don't like that.
I would like to know. I'm assuming that my research was accurate, but there's no evidence that Lacey ever did a walk-on role in a scripted CW show, right?
Oh, I couldn't find anything.
No.
Cool. Yeah.
And she's got a lot of online stuff. I was careful not to spoil myself too much, but like, I think we would know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I miss those Veronica Mars cameos so much.
I know.
Veronica was my favorite.
Ugh.
I liked Surly Kim, too.
It's the funniest thing about those two is, like, Veronica, if you watch that, you'd be like, oh, someone won a part on something. If you watch the Kim one, you'd be like, she got cast.
Yeah.
So we're going to get our night of signing and dining now, which starts out so positive.
It sure does.
And then some contestants... I won't say ruin it, because I don't think that based on the guest, it could be fully ruined for Niall. But I actually thought this was a rare time the top model did the absolute best it was going to do with something.
Yes,
because we get a guest at the door. Brittany, as we'll find out.
Who knocks at the front door, amazing for this show, and waits for someone to let her in. But also, this is the front door, and where is this door?
Because there's a pathway we've never
too
seen.
Too big and too small, and I don't know what wall it's on.
Well, that's the season. Too big, too small. Not too big, not too small.
So Brittany Rose Williams, a real person because their Instagram is private,
arrives with enthusiasm and a chunky wavy highlight. And I think she's adorable.
She is described as Niall's high school lover, but I think they were just fucking with everyone.
Yes.
I think they're just besties.
Yeah.
Although I gotta say, I remember this from watching it when I watched the cycle originally in real time. And at the time, my mind was blown by a positive depiction of people who were once a romantic couple and were now friends.
True.
I think they
maybe,
that was shocking to me in a good way. And it was so matter of fact. It's like, yeah, we used to date. Now she's my best friend. Everything's cool with us. At the time, that was mind blowing for me.
Sure.
And the show is desperate to continue to pretend like Lacey is romantically interested in Niall because they clip out a clip that is so clearly from a larger paragraph where she's like, it's kind of weird to see Niall's ex. And I'm like, she didn't just say that.
Although I would believe a producer going, so would you say you're jealous? Could you actually say that you would say that you're jealous right
please,
now
Lacey,
in those exact words?
Please, Lacey, it seems like you might win and you gotta have a crush.
And there is a second visitor to the house who probably also knocked, and that's Ramon, because remember, Ramon doesn't stay here. Ramon hates this place.
Also, Ramon is just a full guest host of America's Next Top Model this episode.
Ramon has to wrangle the children.
He gives a Tyra mail.
Ramon better have been paid extra for this.
Yes.
And so what's going to happen is that they've set up an hour period where they're going to have some instruction beforehand from Niall and Brittany and Ramon, I assume, probably.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a lovely little sushi-based, you know, platter of food.
The platters of food were all over the place.
All over the place. It felt like it was four different. I wonder if this is like Niall's like favorite foods. And they're like,
probably.
he just liked crudité and sushi rolls.
He's like, not all at the same time.
That's so gross.
He's a small plate guy. Small plates.
He likes fast food.
But then for an hour, the contestants are not allowed to communicate verbally, essentially. So you have to use ASL. Mm-hmm. And at first, this is great. We learn sushi. We learn a lot of other words.
I'll argue that some words we didn't need to learn for this immersion, though. Dog?
Well, sure.
How helpful is dog?
Well, that's the problem, is then it's all going so well, but we can't have nice things because then they open it up to what sentences and stuff do you want to learn? And Mikey takes over because he just wants to use it to hit on women and annoy them.
He's like, oh, there's a whole section of women I can't speak to. Now I can.
And like the way you can feel Brittany get uncomfortable instantly. Well,
and I enjoyed Niall putting him in his place a little bit.
But then Mikey calling the night a game. He says the game is that we can't do this. I'm like, you're literally calling Niall's day-to-day living a game. How can you? Because call it an event, the night. Oh, there's so many words that would have been more appropriate to call it a game.
No, he's playing charades.
Yeah.
He sees, and I think that's also key. He sees sign language as just charades.
Also wild to me how many people refer to sign language as being easy. How did you think this was going to be easy? In what world did you think an entire language was going to be easy for you?
To give the tiniest mote of credit. When you first start learning ASL, and I know a little bit, I'm not fluent in ASL, but you start realizing that a lot of signs are like intuitive in that they are like you very easy to make connections. So to theoretically, especially when they learn like dog, right? It's like hit your knee and snap, like you're calling a dog, right? I get where they think like, oh, if sign language is just motions for one, like taken out of context, maybe that's what they're saying. But I agree.
I mean, I'll be the cynical one here because that I think is you being very generous. Because to me, when Mikey says something like that, it comes off as, well, Niall does this, so it'll be easy for me. He can't even talk. Like, that was the feeling that I got.
Oh, and I'm not saying that isn't probably the case. I was just trying to be,
we're just role switching a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I can't always be the callous, terrible thoughts, pessimist, and doesn't believe that humankind deserves to be here. That's not always me.
Even a broken clock is optimistic twice a day.
That's what they always say.
When it puts both hands in the air and it goes, yay! No, it's actually it's at 150.
Yay! Now every time I see a clock doing that, I'm going to go, yay, clock.
150, oh no, it has to be at, sorry, take this back. It needs to be at 50, 30 seconds. So it looks like there's a body from the second hand, and then the two hands are up.
The happiest time.
The happiest time.
Niall says that Devin tries, but it's just fully gibberish. And Top Model does one of those things that always works on your friend JW, where someone says something incorrectly in a language and they translate it literally. That subtitle always gets a laugh out of me.
And my goddess Hadassah, who can't found something else she cannot do. She like starts and is like, I don't know.
She gets sushi down and then that's the end of it.
It. She's like, I know sushi. I can just get through this hour if I just learn sushi. That's what we're eating, and I have to apparently.
And the rest
ask,
of the time, I will be holding the piece of sushi and unable to talk.
Yes.
The people who try the most seem like the ones who were already trying with Niall.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Ashley, who really seems to take this lesson to heart in a way that's not going to be helpful in the future for Niall.
No. Yeah. But then I appreciate that we got just also now getting to chat with Brittany. You know,
you saw the stress leave his body.
Melt.
There were a lot of reasons for him to be emotional, but I think the overarching one to me seemed to be relief.
Mm-hmm. Just to have one seamless conversation with somebody else.
No Oppo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you realize just how that he is either lonely or working so hard. And those are his only two modes of existence in this house.
Mm-hmm. Or comforting Courtney. Which is work, I guess, to be fair.
And then we get one of the most threatening Tyra mails they've ever received.
Oh boy.
What is this picture? Why what is she is holding a loofah?
Oppo did not sign off on this. And then we get one of the, I love a Top Model literalism, because Ashley says, you could go home for the most smallest numbers. Yeah, Ashley, that's literally the only way you can go home is for the smallest numbers.
Smell the fierce, feel the boom.
Not every day you say that.
Sure. Why is Beja dressed like a vampire equestrian?
I think she has Tyra male outfits now. Yeah. She has too many Tyra male outfits. Specific ones.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing.
Cannonball!
Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
So we go to the world's coldest beach.
Zuma Beach. Mm-hmm. If you look it up, it has a dedicated helicopter landing area for emergency medical lifts, because it's a, like, emergency if there's fires and stuff place.
Ooh.
It's one of the largest and most popular beaches in Los Angeles County. And you said it's cold because also the water at Zuma is a little colder than at other Los Angeles beaches.
Perfect.
It's like, oh, the Pacific Ocean already cold. What if we drop it like another 5?
Mm-hmm.
Its page on the official government website has this sentence, and it's the only sentence you're going to need. Zuma is the ultimate Southern California beach. Wide, extends for miles.
Tyra too is.
Smiles for miles. I'm Zuma.
We are told that they are going to be doing a sexy commercial for Boom 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 deodorant, which tells me that the deodorant goes on your abs.
So confusing.
So many questions about the deodorant. So many questions.
I'll say this. The packaging looks real.
Yes.
I went and I looked if they ever did this product. Because
I did too.
It was so correct.
Mm-hmm. And it was Tyra Beauty.
Yes.
Adjacent.
Yes.
And I was like, did we get ab deodorant? What is this?
My conspiracy theory is that she was trying to make this and they're just like, focus on the makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised because normally when we get the fake top model products, it's very crafty. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this was produced. There were multiples of these. I can tell.
I feel like someone got hired for production design this cycle who was very committed to their job, because we're actually going to see some decent production design across several challenges and photo shoots.
Actually, that's true. Maybe someone knew someone not cynical Tyra. About top model. Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to get paired. And this time, and I appreciated this just as a viewer, we got a lot of switches in the pairs. This is not going to be like the CW thing.
Well, at first it seemed like they were trying to pair from the challenge high scores with low scores.
That's what I thought too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they paired Lacey with Devin and her face.
When he comes over and hugs and squishes her face to hers, and she's like, no. Thank God
sorry,
I have that
little
10.
Lacey.
Then Ashley and Niall.
And she does double finger guns. She's like, ba-ba-boom.
Well, she's happy. She's like, oh, Niall's great.
I do appreciate that in this episode, they all respect that Niall is a good actor.
Mm-hmm. Then Courtney and Beja, y'all.
For podcasting, what a dream.
Sure. Then Mame and Mikey again. Why? Again, why is Kelly? Because
they didn't want to put her with Justin.
Yeah.
Sure. And then they give Hadassah and Justin.
That's really why at this point. It's not really about Mikey and Mame. It's about like, we're going to make something happen with Hadassah and Justin. And then because, oh no, Hadassah's a good person, nothing happens.
Oh, but I thought, I was told that Hadassah was all about showing off her body and she's a whore, a harlot.
Them trying to make that a storyline for her when she gives them nothing to support it is fascinating.
One of our more prim contestants ever.
Yeah. And also so bad at stuff. She's mostly gonna drown during the commercial.
The script includes the stage directions. Girl inhales upper chest.
Left upper chest.
Sorry.
Gotta be specific.
Girl's hand flies across the abs. Flies.
I think it was actually slides, and that was a captions crunch.
Okay.
I think it's slipping and sliding on all that boom, boom, boom.
Y'all, I cannot with this metal bowl of water that they scooped from the sea.
Hold still.
And then this is a classic black and white fabric ad where you're going to be walking through fabric. You're going to be pushing away fabric, running on the beach. It's a lot of actual perfumey stuff.
It felt actually kind of real.
But the lines are
also
just
like a
so
parody
bad.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric Asla is here, so I have to give an Aslact.
Yay!
After Tyra and Eric broke up, Eric lived only 15 minutes away from her in Los Angeles.
Hmm. Good co-parenting.
Yeah.
I really thought for a second that was going to be sad, and you're going to be like, only live for 15 months
minutes.
More. Oh, God.
He never existed.
Whoa! So we're going to get some filming of people doing this. And this is always hard to talk about because a lot of the filming is also just literally what we're going to see in the commercials.
Sure. Yeah.
Because these commercials are, well, we see a lot of them.
I will say two points that I wrote down, which we did mention, but y'all, we almost saw Hadassah die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was held under the water.
The wave crashes on her while her mouth is open.
She was instructed not to get up.
Yes. Yep. The other thing is not as fun. And that's Mamay needing Justin to be jealous and angry and toxic to prove his love or whatever.
Yeah, we're starting to get the storyline that we'll get more in the next episode of Mamay feels like she likes Justin more than he likes her. So she needs him to
prove
his feelings.
From an audience perspective, is wild.
Opposite. Yeah. Fully opposite.
We've said 100%. The opposite on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But so now she's doing that rough thing where she's like, he's got to prove it somehow. Jealousy's a way to prove it. Mm-hmm.
So gross.
Yeah. But it's like of their age, you know what I mean?
I know, but it's also weird when she's just like, I like him more, clearly. And it's just like...
And it was interesting because I thought Justin was very cute, really, about all of this. In the
yeah.
This is yes. giving me feelings that I have never had before. I thought that was very cute.
Yes.
And then does a very good job working with his partner in the commercial.
Because it also feels like Justin realizes this is work.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that this show does not teach people, apparently.
Well, and I do think like holding those two thoughts at the same time, I think is very important for anybody whose partner is an actor yes. or any kind of performer. In that it's never fun to watch your partner kiss someone else unless it is
you're
fun.
Into that.
Uh-huh. It's not fun, but it's also not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And him discovering that in real time was very cute.
Yeah, it made me like Justin a lot more.
For me, this was Justin's best episode. He's not big focus of this episode, because but he does well and handles things well.
Even without facing that audition room, he still delivered lines kind of well.
Wasn't mm-hmm. the worst.
No.
And according to Niall, is one of two people who consistently communicates with him.
I think one of the other people, Dustin, left.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and Lacey. Niall always now says Lacey Justin every time he talks about
sneak
it.
Peeks of them signing in the background.
But I do wonder, that's actually a fascinating point. I wonder if when Dustin left, the loneliness intensified because now there was an additional person that was really making an effort who is no longer. And the difference between three people making a big effort, we should count Ashley, so maybe four, to three is like a big enough difference that it's like, oh, okay. Now it's like not even half of them.
Yeah.
Especially if the person who left was the one that you were connecting with the most naturally anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So Yusai does a full Abbott Elementary, it's so awkward watching them run moment where he looks straight to camera. He's like, can you believe it?
I loved it.
And then Eric ignores him. Eric is like, what are you, we're on, I'm still working.
Working.
Yeah. He says something about, I think it's Courtney. Yusai says like, oh, that's awful. And Eric was like, it wasn't that bad.
It was Devin.
Oh, it was Devin. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny, considering what we're about to see, which is one of the best, worst commercials in top model history.
I do think that Niall has made Yusai a better coach.
I agree. He has had to evaluate himself in a way that I don't think Yusai has ever had to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the result is much better coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Although he does tell someone to paint a story.
Paint a story, write a picture.
But
he
does such effective coaching for Courtney. Like, she gets better because of things he says.
We see it in real time. By the end of the commercial, you're like, Courtney's kind of it. I do love the one time where Courtney, and this is actual him helpful. Courtney and her partner are in the ocean getting hypothermia, and a wave messes her hair up, and Yusai comes in real quick because they're doing great and just pushes it out of the way and goes back instead of yelling at her to do it. Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what really would happen.
Yep.
That's his job.
Mm-hmm. Or at least someone else's job.
Sure.
Whoever was holding that metal pole.
You never heard anyone go stepping in. Stepping
last
out.
Last looks. Why is the makeup person always the last person off?
I love it. I love when a makeup person runs it. It says last looks to me. It happens so often when I hosted those like live stream shows because between I was a sweaty glazed donut of a man, and they would come in and be like, time to blot. We've got 3 minutes. Last looks, JW. I'm like, it won't be the last. Wait till next commercial where I've sweated this all off.
I feel like we're getting the Justin and Mame story out of order. Because then we have this Tyra Mail discussion of when did this happen?
I don't know. I was very confused.
If this were a social media platform.
And I was like, no, Justin, this isn't the social media cycle.
No. And also,
you're late.
Did he change it to it's complicated? No. Right? He just did it like in a relationship or something.
Yes.
It was so weird. I'm like, no, what you wanted to say was in a relationship to it's complicated because you don't know what's going on.
Either he
it's from single to it's complicated, I think.
Oh.
But he said in a relationship. I actually think that weirdly Justin thinks the relationship with Mame is getting better and Mame thinks it's getting worse.
But it is honestly hard to tell at any given moment. They're just pulling stuff from whatever suits the story they're trying to tell at whatever given moment. Who knows?
Hadassah does her best modeling of the cycle when she poses on the table to read the skull mail. Fully laid out.
And then we head to panel.
Can I actually say I liked Niall's extremely limp-wristed bye-bye for the skull mail? He like flops his whole hand. Like, bye-bye.
When we head to panel, Tyra is wearing a one-sleeve pantsuit with a peekaboo yellow shoulder pad. And
I think that was chartreuse. That was an aggressive color.
And also, only one side of the suit has a collar.
It is a yellow shoulder pad that does not match the yellow of the pumps, which made my eyeballs twitch.
And it's like, it's of all the outfits, it's fine, right, comparatively. But why is she leaning into Star Trek? This is Deanna Troi.
The shoulder pad storyline is weird.
That young Guinan series that never happened.
I agree, though. If you could take off the yellow from the clothing and just gray asymmetrical quirky suit, yellow shoes, I think this would be her best.
Yeah.
And this is the point where I realized, wait a second. Why wasn't this fragrance? Why was it deodorant? It's weird.
Someone in the Discord pointed this out, and I'm sorry I don't remember the name to give credit, but I remember we talked about how much we love Miss J's yarn thing. The brooch of the current outfit previews the color of next week's outfit.
Love.
That is so clever. Like they're being made in real time. That's amazing.
But it wouldn't be top model without some fun with the lines.
Tyra said these turned out stupid.
But we still expect you guys to work it like the fierce models you are. This ADR got recorded in a bathroom right after Tyra took a hit of a joint.
Like, what? This is the worst it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
This is real. This is the last cycle energy for Tyra. Then also, I think it's worth noting that Mame is dressed like Wednesday Addams. We haven't talked enough about the fashion on the show. This is not a group of stylists. We've got Justin and Lacey, end of list, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Niall newly showing his arms.
This is how Niall's always wanted to dress. He's just like, you know what, guys? Tank top, beige.
And they're like, sex.
Seriously. He's like, I guess I'll put up all my fun prints. I don't get to smile either, Justin.
Gotten a deal. I hope Niall got a deal with Swiss Embassy after the show.
Wait, what's that like mid's brand of shorts that with all the fun patterns like Chubbies or something?
Yes.
That's what I want. I feel like that's the vibe.
When Mame and Mikey are first up, this is where I realized how much talking was in this commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Way more than I realized, too, though, Lex.
Way more than there should have been.
Smell my fierce. feel my boom. Should I? Boom, boom, boom. Triple action. You've got that badass boom, baby. Boom, boom, boom. Keep your scent fresh and your abs fierce. Boom, boom, boom.
It still makes it seem like it's like a toner and deodorant for your abdominals.
The two questions I'm left with. One, is this a deodorant that you apply to your abs, as previously mm-hmm. discussed? What's the third action? They say triple action, and then only name two actions.
Tara couldn't help herself and make a two list. Also, my favorite line is, should I? Touch my boom. Could I ever?
Would I?
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Mikey loves watching himself so much.
He is Mikey.
His face comes up on that screen and he's like, oh.
It's my favorite person. Me.
And also, it was so weird to have them also ADR their lines.
Yes.
And then
we would have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or they just didn't move their mouths. If we had had this as like just thoughts of, because it's fragrance, right? Fragrance can be anything.
As and
I feel like it's more traditionally just narration. Like it's not usually spoken lines.
And then one line in French at the end.
Oh my God. Yeah. Talking about that. Are we aware? I already said JW. This year's Boy Butter Lube commercial is a French art film.
Great.
It's JW's favorite product. Mm-hmm. And he loves the commercials.
If you couldn't hear the dripping sarcasm and like every time there's a Boy Butter commercial on, I like literally I'm like, well, it's time for a bathroom break.
Oh no, my snack is only 3/4 full.
Well, I gotta go put some popcorn with butter. Shut up.
This is where Kelly begins to mock Jay Alexander.
Ooh, what a dangerous gambit, Kelly. I wouldn't do that if I were you.
The fuck.
The nerve.
What happened is that Kelly finally met her match on the panel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And because Miss J is beloved,
yep,
gets the cheers from the contestants, has a longer legacy with the show, and is generally wittier and better received.
Yeah. Is an actual fashion expert.
Who is
she
funny.
Can't stand it. Mm-hmm. Because for a long time, she was the alumni. She was the person who was like, wow, and Kelly's been here the longest now. She's basically Nigel.
It made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're fighting, and also Tyra does, Jack Diddley about it. She's like, wow, my friends are fighting weird.
Did I do this? Mm.
It's like when you hang out and you know your two besties don't like each other, but you're like, but it's my birthday, so we're all going to hang out.
You have to.
Yeah. Exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, no. Am I that person? You both know?
No. Never. I would put
that it's always a birthday. It's like it's childhood birthday. Friend, adult friend. It's my birthday. I don't care what your deal is.
You know what we're doing? Escape room.
To talk about the commercial, I thought Mame was much better by herself.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I thought she was just pretty above average the whole commercial, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did not remember Mikey getting the Carrie D edit of just send your mind somewhere else.
Oh, we forgot that lesson.
I felt bad. He was shaking so hard at the end. And I was like,
But Tyra mocks
why
him.
Why didn't you just send your mind somewhere else? Come on, Mikey.
Hadassah and Justin are next. Oh my God. How much better is this commercial? Have we found something Hadassah can do?
She was good in this.
She was really good. And so was Justin.
And they had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And they both look great on camera.
Yeah.
And then fucking Tyra makes theirs about Mame.
Mm-hmm.
How? Why? And our girl Hadassah creating the perfect response to the most inappropriate question.
Oh my God.
Ooh, this is that pageant training in action.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Tara was like, how was it kissing Mame's man? Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly is like, is he a good kisser? I don't remember. My lips were frozen.
Perfect. Also,
Brilliant.
I'm sorry, panel. It's a men's fragrance commercial. Hadassah did her job as the accessory.
Mm-hmm.
She
that
did
was what- the role.
It's like the whole script's about the other person's abs.
Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
We didn't mention it, but this is not the first time Hadassah mentioned the cult, because Hadassah will not let the show have one word with her where she doesn't say it's cold. Yusai earlier was like, are you nervous? I'm cold. Feels like this is not
safe. This isn't. No, what I find annoying, right? We have said before that they have to do swimsuit in winter, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fine. I will say that that makes sense because you have to get it out. There is no reason they should have had to be cold for a fragrance commercial.
Not a seasonal product. Not a seasonal product.
And you would think you would want to do something where he was working up a sweat.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Tennis?
No, it's sunscreen. Maybe that's the third action. It's also sunscreen.
It's SPF, sure. Just for the abs, though.
Don't burn those pits.
Notoriously sunburned.
Beja and Courtney are next. And Beja.
This attempt at producing that goes awry for Beja.
Beja brought an apple for Kelly. And y'all?
An undehydrated one.
Undehydrated apple.
She rehydrated the apple.
Beja, Kelly didn't remember what the fuck she said.
I love that Kelly doesn't remember her own Kelly
story.
This was
so much more important to Beja than it was to Kelly.
And then the reveal that it is not an apple, it is a nectarine.
That I will say looks like an apple from afar.
The Peach family.
Yep. I think Kelly's just chomping on it. Like, all right.
Thanks for the snack.
Sorry you're sad or whatever.
This dynamic between Beja and Courtney, that Beja has decided to show off for the judges. Because she could have lied. She could have just been like, it was tough, but I think we got there. But no, I was really mad at Courtney. Yeah, she was really mad at me. Because you were crying. I wasn't crying, I was whining.
I'm uncomfortable before the commercial. That continued through the commercial.
Also, every time there's a line spoken, Courtney's eyes cut hard to Beja. She's like, and I'm done. Your turn.
Any Mikey taught her that she is in with Beja, she looks terrified.
Yes. But then, y'all, did you catch Miss J said Beja?
Oh. Didn't.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just... The amount of praise that Beja gets for this ad is inexplicable. Wow.
And it's specifically always coming from Tyra. Mm-hmm. Tyra's very in on Beja.
Why?
And I wish Tyra would talk about that more. Because yes. I love that Tyra's in on a contestant that doesn't just seem to be from a I've got a crush on your perspective.
Mm-hmm. I think Tyra likes someone who comes in to be fierce. She loves that shit.
Ooh, maybe.
And Beja's gonna fierce.
I'll argue she doesn't like it in about 4 seconds.
Sure.
Well, Beja can't help herself.
Sure.
No. And then, is it time?
It is time.
For the commercial to end all commercial. And the only time I 100% agreed with Kelly.
Putting it right up there in the ANTM Commercial Hall of Fame. Like, right next to Jade. It gets to go right on that wall.
So we have Lacey and Devin. And she is stunning in this commercial. Like... wildly
you can also
so.
Barely hear the accent that we talked about.
And this gets thrown around a bit as a reference, but it is to me full 90s Calvin Klein.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She kind of, I feel like Lacey's a little reminiscent of Sam from Cycle 11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Devin.
Oh boy.
This first line.
Smell my fears.
Never has a one syllable word lasted so long.
Smell my boom. Which made it sound like a fart he made.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And then Tyra does a pretty decent impression.
You know
of Devin.
What?
Her
one
best.
Of her better. Yeah. But she does have a hand.
Yeah.
That it was like, well, he was thinking that.
Oh, yeah. And then.
Well, then for him to say, I felt like I was doing it right. Did you?
I bet Devin did.
Devin went.
That's because you're not Devin. Listening to Yusai scream at you, I guess.
And also, this is in Devin's mind, he took this seriously.
Yeah.
As opposed to horsey
drama. Didn't laugh once. Yeah.
And I want to continue to praise Lacey before we get to Kelly's best line of the episode. Only good one, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lacey's eye at the very end of theirs, where she's looking down, then very last second of the commercial, flick open.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Lacey's becoming such a top tier contestant for me. Seriously. I just adore her.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kelly says to Devin, seriously, please don't do this professionally. Like, the world has enough problems. I love someone finally being like, Devin, don't act. Don't.
But Devin, in Devin's mind, Devin is an actor, yes?
Oh, yeah. Devin is not here for feedback.
No.
Devin is here because Devin thinks the world has mm-hmm. not given him his flowers.
Mm.
And that's the world's problem.
His flopos,
Not Devin.
It's the mindset of, well, I've been booked at 6 agencies, so I've already done everything I've ever needed to do. I don't need to get better. I don't need to learn anything.
Do we think Devin Studio is an acting studio and he teaches people how to act?
I hope so. Oh, I hope so.
Oh, my God. I want to cry.
You know he charges people.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be such a specific reference, but we got some new Top Model music in the background. Mm-hmm. And it was very Micro Machines Nintendo video game music that I remember. Because I was like, what's the specificity of this? And I went on YouTube for a while because I was like, it's video gamey. And I finally heard some Micro Machines music. And I was like, that's what it is. It's all very digital and stuff. It feels like almost new instrumentations are happening.
But like jaunty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a way that does not match the tone of what's happening on screen.
And finally, we have Ashley and Niall.
Mm.
And there's a way this commercial could have worked, but the way they chose was very awkward.
Yeah.
Why would they not just have her also sign the lines? Or do it all in voiceover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I like that, you know, we had this discussion recently. I don't know if either of you saw the stuff about the ASL version of the Barbie movie.
No, I haven't. So
the Barbie movie on whatever platform it's streaming on, they did an ASL version where there's an interpreter in the bottom corner the entire time. And then there was this discussion about subtitles versus ASL interpretation. Mm-hmm. And people were like, why doesn't anyone who speaks using ASL just read subtitles? Like, isn't that part of the reason? And they're like, well, that's more for people who are hard of hearing or just whatever. But ASL is its own flowing language that if you're watching that, you get so much more communicated to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Captions isn't written in ASL because ASL has its own grammar.
Mm-hmm.
Cadence.
Yeah.
Emphasis. And so, and it was fascinating to watch. And I implore people to look up clips of this because that interpreter is getting a lot of praise for how great she did too, which really cool. But I think that part of me does like, even if it wasn't both of them, Niall can speak fluent ASL.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I do worry that if they had them both do it, it would have been ASL and gibberish.
Maybe.
ASL, which just, and that gives, you know, that's a little hard on Ashley.
But I think, like, it's already been hard. I think in some ways there was like Ashley was fucked from the beginning because there, and I'm not blaming Niall obviously, but like there was no world where this wasn't going to be strange.
My bigger issue is that there is no accommodation made to film the signing in a different way.
Right.
So this is filmed exactly the same way that all of the English speaking is filmed. And it puts the burden on Niall to make it visible in conditions where it's really hard to see what he's doing because of where they are and how it's filmed, which is why he has to put this like super emphasis on it that doesn't seem natural to the way he speaks at all.
It also feels like sometimes, and I don't speak fluent at ASL, but it sometimes felt like Niall made up things because Smell my boom? How is Niall relating that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I wonder because I know that Niall did like an ASL version of Seven Rings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would wonder if we watched that, how they filmed that and if it was similar or dissimilar to what they're doing, you know what I mean? Because I know that like ASL is a very expressive language.
Yeah.
So part of me like loves that we got to see a very kind of hyper realized expressive version of ASL coming from him. Because I kind of like the boom, boom, boom with him hitting three abs.
Yeah.
But it did give the commercial a different tone than the other ones had.
For sure.
Which then Ashley isn't matching, because I don't know if that's something that she can recognize is happening as they're doing
or
it.
Anyone on set.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Tyra says that this is him ghetto signing.
Tyra, why?
What?
So because also, no, it's not.
It no.
Fully isn't. But what's the implication of that?
Also, why
don't
you just praise him for being sexy? Like, you've been wanting him to be forever.
Now's the time. He finally did it.
Then, this is the thing that infuriated me the most about this entire thing, was that she tells the two of them that their kissing was too realistic, and they have to fake make out to make it look right for camera. If that's something you really think, A, what were all those bullshit chemistry lessons that we've gotten for the past two cycles?
Mm-hmm.
And B, that sure would have been a helpful lesson to give all of these people beforehand.
And we literally had Kelly on set screaming at Mame and Mikey that they need to kiss real. They need to really kiss.
Yep.
So what's the story, Morning Glory?
She said that, and I was like, they're just trying to figure out every way possible to just get rid of the contestant that they're done with.
Correct.
Yes.
It's been a while, but I felt like they were just like, they've decided they no longer want Ashley in this competition. And they're just like, how do we make it happen?
They don't want Ashley in this competition?
Because she's making Mikey a better person?
No. She's standing in the way of the true romance of Mikey and Mame that they have created in their heads.
The judge is playing with the contestants like they're dolls, which will be ironic next episode, and trying to be like, yeah, let's smash these two together.
Yeah.
Like, so gross.
Call out order.
Also, Ashley's crossed arms during this entire call out order.
Lacey is first.
Yay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And like first by like more than 2 points.
Does she come very close to a perfect judge's score?
She has an 8.59591.
Okay.
Weirdly, when we'll get to who each would have won, only Miss J would have had Lacey won.
Yeah, well, this is Miss J's highest score, an 8.5 this time. Because I think they're like, this commercial blows.
Yes.
Then Mame, then Niall, then Beja, because Tyra gave Beja a 10.
A perfect score.
Then Mikey.
Which I actually think this is Mikey's commercial, him in the commercial. Fine. I think this made sense.
But then Justin.
I think they were also giving him some hypothermia points of like, don't sue.
Yeah, I don't understand how his score is higher than Justin's, though.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
So low.
Yeah.
And they had the same challenge score, so that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey's were 8.8992 and Justin's was 7.98579. Why did they hate Justin?
But then great day for Hadassah.
Yeah.
Okay, fourth from the bottom
four. And then Courtney leaving Devin.
No. This should have been Devin.
The clear bottom two were Devin, Courtney. Courtney should have gone home this week.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is just that Devin and Ashley, who were in the bottom two, both had a 6 for their challenge score.
Yep.
Then we have ADR about Ashley having sleepy energy. What was her critique?
Don't know.
What I think happened was that they looked at this episode and they looked at what had been happening with Ashley and they realized they haven't been given enough reasons within the edit of the show to justify her going home. So they were just adding stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Devin, you're laughable.
Devin should have gone home this episode. Yeah. It's
Devin
so
or
ridiculous.
Courtney, honestly, I can justify either Devin or Courtney going home this episode, so much more easily than Ashley. But give him the CW punishment. He pissed off your CW overlords.
Yeah.
Send him home.
What I find fascinating is if you remove the challenge score, this is the same order, except Niall is below Beja and Mikey.
Yeah. So if you're going individual judges, these are all over the place.
Oh, boy.
Miss J, Lacey wins with an 8.5, the highest Miss J's going to give. And Hadassah goes home because Hadassah can never truly have a win.
Ow.
Tyra.
When you've seen the other ones.
I think that's why Miss J was like, Hadassah cannot model.
Fair.
Tyra, Beja wins with that perfect 10. And Ashley goes home.
By a huge margin.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Kelly, Mikey, or Mame win. And Devin or Ashley go home. Kelly given same scores.
She's like, wasn't Catrone's fault.
She's just eating that nectarine. I'm in a good mood now. I've got some blood sugar.
I will say that I am glad that Ashley is free of Mikey.
He was not her downfall the way I thought he was going to be. Turned out Devin that was Devin. Was. Uh-huh. I will say, I actually cried a little bit when she said that she came here for Ming Ming. The photo of her and her sister was so lovely. Mm-hmm. And obviously that relationship is so important to her and so beautiful. And I actually, it seemed like from this, and I don't know what Ashley has said since, that this was actually a positive experience for her overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like it.
Also, we have one weird edit that I don't think we've ever seen. Where when Tyra's talking to Ashley, she talks about old Ashley, and then we get a picture-in-picture of old Ashley looking at new Ashley.
So strange.
I hate how mean they are about her hair when she came in.
Her hair looked fine.
I'm sorry, it comes across real racist.
It does.
It comes across very, like, natural hair, not here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Ashley Molina. After the show, she's been in Indie Magazine, Traffic, and a cover and spread of Astound Magazine. She's modeled for the Bonnet Collection, the Femex Conformist Lookbook, and the Mute Shop. Ashley Molina, then triple underscore, is her Instagram handle. I will say, I think she did a hard reset at some point, because all of the social media has very few followers and very few posts.
Mm.
Like, this is very new. Her Instagram's earliest post is 2022. It seems legitimately hers, and she's even posting current stories.
Mm.
She also has an X profile, a Twitter profile, and a TikTok, but it's the same thing. It only goes back to about 2022, so it seems like there was just a hard reset of all the social media at some point. And in almost all of her bios, she says, spread love. It's the Brooklyn way. It's very cute. Honestly, y'all, Ashley's one of the ones that I've been able to come up with the fewest information on. And it seems like maybe that's by design.
Sure.
I'm not implying anything nefarious or whatever. I just think that she did a cleanup of all social media.
I saw somewhere in my very limited research that she had recently given birth to a child, and I wonder if that led to kind of a reset on socials.
Maybe. I will say her first post says third time's a charm, maybe indicating she's done like that kind of before.
Yeah, maybe. And it's what's funny is she's not the last contestant on the Where Are They Now who's done some social media resets. So for something about this cast, they love to cleanse their social media profiles and start anew. Ashley, I feel bad for, because I feel like she got on the show, and even though it does seem like she had a good time on the show, I couldn't find her saying anything negative about ANTM, but she also isn't someone who's like talking about it a lot on social media.
Right.
Again, it's all fresh. I unfortunately think she's going to be one of those contestants I don't remember a lot about, because I think a lot of her stuff was related to other people.
Yeah.
She got kind of swallowed up in the house dynamics. And perpetually underrated by the judges, as I predicted from the beginning. For some reason, I don't think the judges ever let her be quite as good as she was. And I'm not saying she was an amazing model by any means, but it seems like they were constantly slightly, at least slightly, if not more so, undercutting her and her performance.
I just, when I think back of like her memorable pictures, the most memorable one, and maybe it's recency bias, was the geometric shape, the no filter, not because it was successful, but because it was impressive. And I can't think, and then the only other one is like the military one, which is so bad.
Well, I can remember her ghost where she was a perfect line.
She's another one who I think would have benefited so much from being on a traditional female-only cycle.
She needed way more coaching for sure, an earlier cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, she kind of reminds me of, in terms of how the show treated her, as well as some of the, I won't say storyline, but just like kind of the character arc, is Destiny. Mm-hmm. Remember Destiny from the college one, I believe? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like she was also underrated. Shared some backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, they were just like, and we're done.
Well, it felt like, yes, and agree, in similar to that, it was that once her story, like, there was no more story to get out of Ashley, that there was no reason to keep her because she wasn't the best at modeling.
Exactly.
But I am relieved that, unlike Destiny, this seems to have not caused psychological damage for Ashley.
Well, yeah. That's the biggest difference, honestly, is that Destiny, like, seemed like she was like, because remember Destiny's photos after she got eliminated for all, like, her not trying, which was amazing.
Hilarious
how much she did try. But I feel like Ashley, like, I'll be really interested to see how Ashley is presented on however the comeback episode is presented to us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think we're hilarious, just like Destiny's photos were, you should rate, review, and subscribe to this current podcast episode. Mm-hmm. We love hearing from you, your hot takes, your iced tea. You can reach out to us at podleadum@gmail.com or send us physical mail to our
I'm going to miss Opo when we get done with the cycle.
That's what P.O. stands for. Popo Opo.
The true star of cycle 22.
For real, though. I know more about an Opo phone than any other sponsor we've ever come across.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
I am on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on TikTok being tagged in so much wonderful content by y'all. Y'all are producing bonus episodes for us, as you've heard, at JDB Crump. Okay.
And be sure to use the hashtag PodLeadem. And don't forget, like I did on the last two TikToks, to put hashtag PodLeadem whenever you post about us.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if people know, but like on TikTok at PodLeadem, like we're doing all those behind the scenes clips.
Yeah. All so that if you're stuff like, on Twitter is now moved to TikTok.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like we present those in the Discord a little early, but then Lex puts them on our official TikTok. So if you're like, I'm not a Discord person, sure, but I want to see those behind the scenes clips, TikTok's the best chance to do so.
You cannot confine Lex to a single platform.
No.
Mm-mm. That lexicon is going to spread.
And mm-hmm. there is a reason I will join these social medias, not to do them a lot of the time, but because I want to lay claim to Yet Charming, so it never has to be anything but anywhere at Yet Charming. But you can also follow us at PodLeadem, and that's where all the clips are.
Mm-hmm.
So for PodLeadem, the name of our TikTok, you can... I've been Lex Basile Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
PodLeadem is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.